Hi, welcome to CY Show, the movie, TV and DVD review podcast for regular people. I'm Mr. Brown.
Hi, and I'm Tammy.
This week, we are reviewing Flashpoint.
Something a little sexier, Desperate Housewives DVD.
And another DVD, Friday Night Lights. Oldie but goodie. Right, but before we jump into the movie reviews, let's look at what's showing this week.
What's showing this week?
Newspaper, please. Thank you. We have Golden Compass.
Nicole Kidman.
Yeah, it's based on a book, I think, one of those like Lord of the Ringish kind of children's book, is it? I have a photograph of myself and Ryan with the backdrop of the polar bear taken in San Diego Comic Con. Yeah, we look very like as if we are in the movie, but some of them were laughing at us for like looking kind of gay. Yeah, a bit wrong.
See what show people will see the show, see the picture soon.
Yeah, I'll go and dig it up. Yeah, maybe we'll find a postcard. And there was some controversy about the movie kind of promoting atheism among children. And some church groups in America were trying to boycott it. But apparently in Singapore, it's airing completely without any boycott.
It's always the church groups, isn't it?
Some of them. It's a movie, man. Like, take a chill pill. What else is showing? Elvin.
Oh, yes. Elvin and the Chipmunks.
Yeah.
As the title suggests, it's basically the adventures of the Chipmunks. You know, our favorite beloved three itty-bitty cartoon, big-eyed, funky animals.
And they're now 3D,
and,
right?
Yes, and the thing, they're now 3D. And then I saw some of the teaser sort of
funny
shots. It seems okay. Some people were like, oh, it's so cute.
Oh, really?
It's actually a 3D real-life mix. It's a bit like Garfield.
Oh, yeah. Garfield kind of like, ever since the technology caught up and decided to do like Scooby-Doo, then Garfield, and now this, right? Stuart Little.
But see, Stuart Little was cute because Stuart Little still made it seem like, you know, he still looked like a mouse. This is complete cartoon character. You can't...
Did they make the chipmunks like life-size or like small size?
Small size? I mean like... Sort of
proportionally
like,
to the human.
Yeah, proportionate to the human as like, with the cartoons.
Because I saw the posters, they look huge. I'm like, wow, are they going to like show these giant chipmunks walking down the street?
No, not so much proportionate. As in like, you know, in the cartoon, they look like children sized.
Yeah, okay, so they're children sized.
Yeah,
okay,
they're
not small. Like, they're not chipmunk sized like the Enchanted movie from Disney. No,
not
that size.
They're not like that.
But they're not life size.
No, they're not huge.
Yeah, that'd be scary.
The attack of the chipmunks.
Attack of Elvin and the chipmunks.
No, but
it's Godzilla. Godzilla. Godzilla.
Chipmunkzilla.
Oh, gross.
Not looking forward to that one, though. Okay, I still prefer my cartoons.
The kids might want to drag you to watch it. I don't know. Heartbreak Kid. Ben Stiller doing his whole, like, you know, sunburn guy, meeting a girl, marrying somebody who turns out to be somebody you may not want to marry. That kind of thing. Something about Mary kind of humor.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not enjoying him as much as I used to. I like Adam Sandler more now.
See, that's the thing. Adam Sandler always had something endearing about him.
Mm.
Whereas Ben Stiller never... I don't know.
Maybe it was something about Mary that was funny. It was not him, really. Him kind of was terribly funny.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that's Heartbreak Kid. You guys watch it, leave a note on the Twitter box or comments or forum, but I'm not sure if I'm going to be watching this. Let's jump into review. It's review time.
See what show? Review time.
And Flashpoint.
Daohuoxian.
I give you the Chinese name.
Chinese name.
It's a Hong Kong movie. It's something I've been putting off. I wanted to watch it sometime back when it came out in July. Wife and mother went to watch. Yeah, I know.
Your wife and your mother have been watching
always,
more movies than with you, right?
I know. They watched this in Cantonese and in KL, actually.
Oh, yeah. We did a watch showing for that.
Yeah, they watched Invisible Target as well.
Ah, I see.
And then they watched this Flashpoint, which is quite funny. So I finally caught the thing on DVD. And it's a Hong Kong action cop movie starring Donnie Yen. Yeah, the man. And Louis Koo, who's the other like staple of Hong Kong drama now. First of all, I have to say, this is a very short movie.
Okay.
It's an hour and 20 minutes. Really, it's like an hour and like, whoa.
Wow, but yeah, it's all action.
Yeah, so it's very intense, enjoyable, right? You don't you don't feel like they're trying to drag out the whole thing for two hours.
It's like a short roller coaster.
Yeah. There's no action fatigue, you know. It's just like 1.5 hours, 1 hour, 20 minutes, it's about right. It's set in pre-1997 Hong Kong. And really, I don't understand. It doesn't matter. But they make a big deal about it. pre-1997 Hong Kong. As if, like, before 97, there's some big significant difference with the cops. There's no bearing to this movie, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's just that, well, I guess at the point in time, it's the whole independence thing.
Maybe,
yeah. I don't know.
Maybe cops then were allowed to do things that Donnie Yen does. So anyway, he's like this Detective Sergeant Jin Ma, who is a cop who stops at nothing to get his bad guys, which is really an original stereotype. And often gets... let's say the oxymoron, original stereotype. And often get cited for using excessive force. To arrest his bad guys, okay?
Like those interrogation room, throw him around the room kind of.
No, no, he doesn't even need to go to the interrogation room. He goes after them out in the open and chase them in the market, that kind of shit. He's trying to catch a Vietnamese gang consisting of this guy called Tony, who's the leader, and then has an older brother called Archer, who's, and a younger brother called Tiger. And these three guys are Vietnamese bad guys.
They always have such bad names.
Yeah. Tony, Archer, and Tiger. No, that's the thing, right? Vietnamese gangs seem to get a very bad rap in Hong Kong. Like, as if, like, all the... I've seen Invisible Target. Uh-huh. Bad guy also Vietnamese.
Huh.
Yeah.
So, we're, like, this part of the world so exotic, lah.
Yeah, I don't know. Gangs all come from Vietnam. Man. And he has an inside man. Donnie Yen, Sergeant Jin Ma has an inside man in this gang called Wilson, who is played by Louis Koo.
Oh, well, he's the only one with a normal name.
Wilson. Their driver and bodyguard, okay, who has their trust completely. So, yes, there's
They all speak Cantonese, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the Vietnamese accented Cantonese as well. It's quite interesting. So Wilson is the Wati la in this movie la, you know, like since the we have to follow the Infernal Affairs rule that all Hong Kong cop and mob movies must always have the undercover cop. The plot is not complicated, so that's good. 1.5 hours is not enough for a complicated plot. So the guys, you know, you got a mob guys turning witness against this gang, and then the gang go and kill the witnesses. You know, they go into the kill everybody mode, you know, eliminate the even Wilson and his girlfriend, who's like this really like random Hua Ping flower vase character. It's not spared. You don't watch this movie for the plot. You watch it for the pure action, and damn it, it's really good. I mean, it's even better than the Invisible Target we watched around the same time. We reviewed it in September, I think. Cars were langa everywhere. All kinds of guns are used. They even have an exploding roast chicken. Talking about the guns.
Cute.
The guns, I mean, they really like, they went over the top with this one. Machine gun, submachine gun, shotgun, sniper rifle.
Ooh.
All in one scene, okay?
Wow, where's the AK-47?
Oh man, the sniper rifle was incredible. I mean, like, they have some photographs of Donnie Yen brandishing this shotgun and using it, like, running around and shooting, you know, like, you know, you can't run and shoot with a sniper rifle.
Yeah, you have to stay still.
In Counter-Strike, yeah. But this guy, hardcore. So... the best part of the show, of course, is Donnie Yen fighting lah. His mano a mano kung fu fighting.
And leather pants.
Yeah, and very tight pants and his glistening coconut oil body. Right?
Oh my god, I can't believe this.
I loved him in SPL, Sapolang, and he's really allowed to do his, you know, strut his moves here. He even does the Bruce Lee thing, you know, like.
Ayo.
Yeah. And then there's a bit of a WWE like wrestling shit going on as well.
Why?
He kind of pins people down with his leg.
He jumps off on the corner of something and then he pins them down.
Right? But it's like, it's glistening body thing. I mean, it's a bit disturbing. But, you know, if you have an hour and a half or less to kill on a Friday night, you know, lazy Friday night, go and watch this. It's fun stuff.
Okay.
And then you watch another DVD series.
Well, I watched the DVD series Desperate Housewives Season 3. Everybody's favorite sexy housewives. Okay, so the Season 3, I'm not going to go into the plot. For those of you who don't watch Desperate Housewives, it's basically these group of women who live on Wisteria Lane. And they're all neighbours. And think about it, like, you know, the aunties at the bottom of the void deck, just, you know, gossiping and scandal and things like that, except it's more sexy and American and stylized, okay? So season 3 comes with a chock full of DVD specials. Like, they have behind the scenes, deleted scenes. The creator also picked out his favourite scenes with commentary, things like that. So that was quite cool. And, yeah, it's actually a whole lot of fun. I wouldn't say that the special features are really that solid, like Spider-Man.
Oh, well, you know, it's different. Like, they got special making of. There's no, like, there's no thing as a making of for this. Well, so it's like special effects.
Well,
that, you know,
there is sort of like a behind the scenes thing, but no, there's no big making of splash thing. You know, there's no big technological advances and things like that. But it is a very cool look at the cast, because all this time in the media reports, the cast has been having huge fights over pay, over whatever. Yeah, they made this very catty thing. You know, even when season 1 come out, somebody decided to walk off the set because somebody was getting paid higher and things like that. You know, all these little scandals and tips and things like that. And, you know, the specials actually made them seem like really cool people, which made the characters, to me, more lovable.
You reviewed another box set the other time. What was it?
Grey's Anatomy.
How does that contrast in terms of the quality of the...
Well, okay, with Grey's Anatomy, there was a lot more talking about the motivation behind the characters. Because Grey's Anatomy, you know, is drama. It's a lot deeper. With Desperate Housewife, it's a lot lighter.
Fluffier.
Slightly, you know, there is one where they were talking about the wedding dresses, okay? Three people got married in one season, beginning, middle, and end.
The dress was tailored, it was elegant, it had these beautiful little tiny buttons and a series of very Brie bows. It was perfect, quintessential Brie.
And they were talking about how it fits the character, how they designed everything
to
fit the character.
So there was actually an extra that talked about
documentary. Yes, there's an extra.
About wedding dresses?
No, about the scenes and how they planned it out. Because it's amazingly planned for something we all think is so shallow. Whereas with Grey's Anatomy, it's a lot more, okay, you're going to be plunged in the cold water and then we're going to try and revive you. So this is how we got her all sopping wet and pale. You know, that kind of thing? It's a lot more dramatic and a lot more effects and things like that. Desperate Housewife, a lot more subtle planning. There were director's commentary for the special features, right? The deleted scenes and bloopers and things like that, but not all the episodes. No, you just watch it as it is. Yeah, that's really about it. To me, if you buy the discs, it's more for the show. It's more because you like the show.
Did they have any alternate
endings?
Pilots?
No,
movies,
they didn't.
Series?
No, they didn't. It was more, you know, the show is what it is. You know, here are some things, you know, extra that we have, but that's, you know, it's nothing groundbreaking. No, you're buying it because you like the show.
Okay.
You're not buying it for the special features.
Cool.
Yeah, so not too bad. I actually got to liking the show after watching it because I started watching the show. So I guess, you know, not too bad.
Good box set. Then the last movie we're reviewing today, Friday Night Lights.
I thought it was a TV series.
No, it's not. It's both a movie and a TV series. It is currently an NBC TV series.
Mm-hmm.
We might actually review that somewhere down the line. But I watched the movie first because I heard a lot of buzz about the TV series. So I decided, let's catch the movie and see, you know, how that contrasts with the TV series if I'm going to start watching it. Because the DVDs are out for the TV series as well.
Well, is it affiliated? Is it linked?
It's connected. Okay. So this is a 2004 movie. It's quite some time, like 3 years ago. But it's one of those under-radar stuff. Nobody really talks about it. In Singapore, nobody cares about American football, right? It's based on a book of the same name by H.G. Bisinger. About a small town in Texas called Odessa. And their obsession with their high school football team. The Permian High Panthers. Nicknamed Mojo. Mojo team. Team Mojo.
Mojo.
I don't know what it means, though, but they call him Mojo.
You don't know what that means? Have you seen Powers?
I know, but why they're called Mojo. It's set in 1988. So they had
that's a long time ago.
Yeah, they capture the kind of 80s kind of feel.
Mm-hmm.
And Odessa is an economically struggling Texas town, small town, that has only one thing to look forward to: Friday night football.
Oh, so Friday Night Lights.
Yeah,
okay.
The whole town shuts down on Friday nights to watch high school football. And oh, Billy Bob Thornton is coach Gary Gaines, who has the unenviable task of fulfilling the hopes of the town's high school football team to win the state championship.
I can almost feel the testosterone.
It's a very gritty drama here. I mean, the star player is a black guy called Booby Miles.
I'm not that good at toasting, but I'll give it a try. Fact of the business, I don't know if I've ever done a toast myself before. I've been involved in a few, but here's to Booby Miles, who, well, everything you get this year, you deserve it, because you work hard and you. I'm real proud of you.
Funny name, right? And actually, the real Booby Miles shows up in the movie several times as cameo, yeah, sitting next to the actor who acted him.
Oh, this is a true story.
It is a true story. Yeah, I forgot to tell you. The book that it was based on is almost 100% factual. And the movie tried to follow the book as closely as possible. In fact, the TV series probably also... TV series is set in a fictional town, but it's based on the book.
I see.
It's a real story.
Okay.
Yeah, true story. So Booby Miles is their star player, and... he's injured in one of the early matches during the state championships.
Okay.
And, their hopes become uncertain, downhill spiral. And it becomes this truly underdog movie. It's like, you remember we reviewed We Are Marshall?
Yeah, I was going to ask about that.
I like this one better.
Huh.
Yeah, it's grittier, more real. I think because it's all based on, it was more factual than We Are Marshall was.
Well, it's not as flighty and inspirational.
Yeah, it's really like, you know, nose to the ground, and you know, you can see the kind of grit they put in. And the movie was beautifully shot. They caught the sadness and the beauty of a dying small town.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's beautiful scenery, but yet, you know, there's a sadness that the town is struggling with, you know, with poverty. And the book was said to illustrate like the larger issues that America was facing at the time. And they used the town as a profile of the larger, you know, picture of America.
Yeah, well, there are a lot of small towns dying in America.
Yeah, so they captured stuff like racism at that time and all this, you know, economic downturn, 80s, during the oil crisis.
Sorry, this was set in the 80s, but when was it released?
This movie?
Yeah.
2004.
Oh, okay.
So they shot, and I think some of that stuff got left out of the movie because of time constraints. You only got, you know, hour to hour, now I have 2 hours to
condense everything.
Yeah, so to do the movie. So the focus became more on the sport and the fight they had to go through.
Mm-hmm.
But you do manage to see like interesting cross-section of America in this movie's portrayal of the small town. I heard the TV series of the same name managed to recapture some of these issues and concepts. They had more time to explore the issues.
Well, yeah, if you're going to do it across many, many episodes, add it together, that's a lot of
hours. I'm quite looking forward to watching season one on DVD. And I heard in the US, they're showing up the season three now.
Yeah, I think it's been going on a while.
Yeah, I think Star was showing, was it Star? Star that started season one?
Yeah, I think so, because I remember they were advertising and, oh, it's a new season called Friday Night Lights.
Oh, that means it's season one already.
Should be season one already.
Yeah, DVD's out. Odd thing is, many of these boys who play the football, they will never play football again after this high school match.
Why?
They just give it up. I mean, it's not something they go on to make careers of.
Uh-huh.
It's high school football, not college. But yet, they put so much effort into something that becomes a memory, you know, that they once played in a championship. And their parents, you know, see, the whole town is very hardcore. You know, there's a sense of ownership of the team that can be very scary. You can see that, you know, expectations are running high. You know, it's no longer...
very territorial.
Yeah, no longer a sport. It's people are living vicariously through the team. And community leaders, parents who used to play, you know, in the championships, students, every pastors, everybody, you know, all channeling their hopes and aspirations through the 17-year-olds, you know,
they
who make
not
up this TV team
in that place.
No, they I think it got lah, but they don't air the match. Yeah, they do watch there's TV. They do air on the TV, but there's nothing like going to the stadium.
I see.
Yeah. And they have a big stadium. It's really a big. It's like a major.
So
fixture.
The whole town would fit inside.
Yeah. And Billy Bob Thornton played the stoic coach, wonderfully.
We've been thinking about this for 4 months now. Now you seniors have been thinking about it for 17 years. Well, it's here now. It's time. If any of you have any doubt in your mind, I don't want you to walk through that door over there. You shouldn't have any doubt in your mind about what you're supposed to do tonight and about how you're supposed to do it.
I mean, you see his face, the way he deals with the pressures of the job. And it pays $60,000 a year. Apparently, at that time, it was very high by town standards. But he has to deal with like a town, fend off the town that is out for his blood if he fails, and yet have to rally his team because, you know, they are feeling down after losing Bobby Miles. And
I think the very weird question here is, how does this compare to Mr. Woodcock? I know it's a different, you know, role, him as a coach character.
He was so much better in this one. Yeah, when you look at him, you believe that he is this coach.
But so there's a lot more heart, lah.
More heart. He's got a heck of a lot of heart, and he plays in very unusual. He's kind of how do I put it? He's not the fiery kind of coach. Mm-hmm. He gets on fire sometimes when he needs to scream at them, but there is a very gentle, quirky kind of stoicness that he displays.
So a bit like endearing, you know, not quite dead undercurrent.
He's not a very emotional chap here.
Okay.
And yeah, he's not mean, but when he needs to explode, he explodes. And a lot of it is communicated. You know, you see his feelings when he looks at his wife, and he looks at his eyes.
Wow.
When it's very, very well done.
Serious acting from Billy.
Yeah, I like him. I enjoyed it very much. I even though I didn't understand all the football terms, you know, you really felt every crunch, every grunt, as the team fought for every inch of the field. And, wow. and if a movie can make you feel as passionately about a sport, right, as the small town felt for their sport, and it's a sport we don't even play here in Asia, then I think it's doing something right. I think it's done something, you know, it's accomplished something. So, and now they make me want to watch the TV series as well.
Well done.
And I want to see what the other stuff is, you know, like how they capture the cross-section of America and this,
the fringe
illustrate.
Things that they had to leave out because it was a movie.
In fact, it's probably core to the book as well, I heard. So it illustrates the larger issues
that
in America.
That must have been a heck of a book, though.
Yeah, quite a big one. Apparently, the movie took a long time to be made. We Are Marshall was made before Friday Night Lights. People have been talking about making a movie out of the book for a long time. The book was out for a while. But We Are Marshall came out earlier. So everyone was saying, like, you know, well, Marshall didn't come out earlier. But anyway, it took a while to get the movie off the ground, apparently, Friday Night Lights.
Interesting.
So that's our review for See What Show this week.
Yes.
Thanks for joining us. Mr. Brown saying bye-bye.
Bye.
A production of See What Show.com.